Well, I think most of you know by now that most Sundays I tend to preach on the gospel of the day, and you kind of use that as the basis, the focus of my homily. Not always, but the majority of the time, that's where I really kind of try to draw the content of what I'll be preaching about. But this week, I was really just struck very strongly by the second reading, and so that's kind of what I want to focus on today. It's the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. It comes from chapter 12, and it's the ending of that second letter, toward the end of St. Paul's life. And so it starts, our second reading starts with verse 7 through 10. But what happens in the previous verses just leading up to this in chapter 12 is St. Paul is describing one of his mystic revelations of heaven. St. Paul was a mystic, and he would have these ecstasies, and he would be shown a vision of you know, the heaven itself. And these visions, he would come back, and he just like, he was ready to go. He was ready to die. He was ready to give everything. And I think that was, in a lot of ways, the driving force behind his, so much of his, I mean, St. Paul was just a machine for preaching the gospel. And I think a lot of that was, the source of that was these visions that he would have of heaven. It just drove him to preach and to try to share what he had received. But, so he, as he's describing this vision of heaven, then we come to the second half of chapter 12. And he says this, "Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me and keep me from becoming too elated, too proud." In other words, here I am, I'm having these visions of heaven, I'm having these this mystic revelations, and in order to keep myself from becoming too elated, too lofty, I've been given this thorn in the flesh, and an angel of Satan to beat me, okay? So that's what he's saying. And then from there he says this, "Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Three times, St. Paul begged the Lord, "Take this thorn from my side. Take this angel of Satan that's beating me, take this away from me." Three times, "Take it away, take it away, take it away." And the response was, "No. I will not take it from you. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." So, last week, we had the story, the parable of the hemorrhaging woman, right? She was bleeding for 12 years, trying to find gone to all these doctors, trying to find relief, and finally, after 12 years, she touched the tassel of Jesus' cloak, and she's healed. I think sometimes when we bring things to the Lord, we bring it in prayer, sometimes the answer is, not yet. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, the answer is, no. I am not going to grant your request or your prayer as you are praying it, for your own good. That's really difficult answer to receive. No, I will not grant your request. So, with St. Paul, the thorn in the flesh, what, I mean, there's been a lot of ink spilled over what that meant, the thorn in the flesh. He doesn't elaborate on that anywhere else. You can kind of get hints from his different letters what he's referring to. And there's different kind of pockets of veins of thought. So the older patristics, like St. Jerome, who lived in the 3rd or 4th century, St. Jerome was of the opinion that the thorn in the flesh was some sort of physical ailment. And there's a lot of the early fathers who agreed with him. They thought maybe he had suffered from migraines, chronic debilitating migraines. Some thought maybe he had epilepsy and was dealing with epileptic seizures from time to time. And so those kind of physical debilitations. In other parts in St. Paul, he talks about, like, he says, you recognize my handwriting. I write with big letters. And so there's some conjecture around maybe the fact that he had some sort of eye injury. His vision was impaired, and that could maybe be causing migraines and so on and so on. So it could be that St. Paul was dealing with something physically that was slowing down his ministry. Three times he begged the Lord, take this from me. There's another vein of thought that says, and actually St. Thomas Aquinas was actually of this opinion, that St. Paul, the thorn in the flesh, was some sort of spiritual ailment, some sort of temptation that he faced, possibly maybe even something like some sort of a lustful temptation to take that second look after women, and he was constantly trying to, you know, clear his mind of those temptations that were placed in front of him over and over and over again. And his prayer is, Lord, take this from me. We don't know what it was, and at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter, I don't think. I think it was intentionally, I think the Holy Spirit left it intentionally vague, intentionally broad, so that we can read our own thorn into what St. Paul is saying. Whatever your thing is. Three times I begged that this might be taken from me. The Lord answered, no. Now, this verse always kind of reminds me of maybe that one of the second greatest sources of theology that we have outside of Scripture, which is obviously country music. You can get some good theology and some bad theology from country music. But you think of Garth Brooks, you know, Garth Brooks' song, Unanswered Prayers. You remember that song from the 90s? Sometimes God's greatest blessings are unanswered prayers, where in the song he meets his former girlfriend from high school, and he talks about, like, you know, when he was in high school, he begged the Lord, Lord, give me this woman, allow me to marry her, this is the woman of my dreams, and that relationship ended up falling apart. But he taught in the song, he sings about, like, now he meets this former girlfriend with his wife. And he's just so grateful that that previous relationship broke apart because of the relationship with his wife. Now, try to go tell a brokenhearted 17-year-old, this is for your good, don't worry. They're not going to listen. And neither do we. We don't want to live when we are in that point and we're praying, like, the Lord's saying, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. We don't want to hear it. That's not the answer I wanted, Lord. But the truth is, sometimes the Lord gives us obstacles for our own good. And it's specifically because he is a good father that he does that. It's not good parenting to be the helicopter parent and to remove all the obstacles and every difficulty from your child's path to where they have a smooth sailing and they never ever encounter any kind of difficulty or struggle. That's terrible parenting. Parents do it. God bless them. But it's terrible parenting. Same thing for you know, if there's some sort of a drill sergeant in the Army or Marines or something, and the soldiers are complaining, like, these obstacle courses are too hard. We're doing too many push-ups. And he's like, don't worry about it. We could just skip it. We're just not going to do any kind of training. How terrible would that be for those soldiers who get out into battle and have never actually faced opposition or trained for anything that's difficult? It's the Lord's mercy sometimes that allows us to deal with difficult things. When he says no, my grace is sufficient for you. I will not take this from you. You need to struggle with it. You need to wrestle with it for your own good. Because what could be worse is that he does take it away, and in our pride, like St. Paul, if without whatever this thorn is, his pride would have got the better of him, And I'm telling you, spiritual pride is the worst kind of pride there is, because it's almost impossible to cure. Spiritual pride get the better of him, and that be the blind spot that leads him to a separation from God. But rather, St. Paul says, I will rather boast most gladly now of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell in me. It's an incredibly, incredibly difficult lesson to understand, to receive, to work through. But it's one that every single person, every Christian, even the Blessed Mother herself, had to wrestle with these questions of difficulty. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. May we pray for our healing. May we pray for our relief. May we pray for those things. Like the woman last week, the hemorrhaging woman. But if the Lord tells us not yet, or if the Lord tells us no, we have to be prepared to wrestle with that. To be able to ask the next question, okay, why? How is this supposed to benefit me? Lord, how are you leading me? What is going on here? If we believe God is truly good, which we do, then we have to understand why he allows us to struggle sometimes. May his power be made perfect in the midst of our weakness.